Welcome to Exhibition, an Xbox podcast, episode number 90, the Big 9-0. My name is Samuel Adams, and on today's show, we have a much more laid-back episode for you because we have had a lot of Xbox news to dig into over the course of the past couple of weeks. Now, this past week was not any less exciting, but of course, 2 weeks ago, we had the Xbox Developer Direct bringing you news on Redfall, Starfield, Forza Motorsport, and of course, stealth dropping Hi-Fi Rush out of nowhere, which took the world by storm. It ended up hitting one of the top sellers on Steam. It really did blow up in a big way. But this week we're talking more about Hogwarts Legacy running through the reviews and talking more about this very divisive game that's been on social media. We're also going to be touching more on the Microsoft Activision Blizzard acquisition and the news that's come out of the UK. We're not really going to be talking about the deal itself and the potential for it to go through, more so how we as players should be thinking and talking about this type of deal. We've got plenty of big topics like that to dig into, so pour yourself a cup of your favorite drink, sit back, boot up a game, and let's go ahead and dive into it. Let's talk about the elephant in the room right off the bat, and that is the fact that the CMA, the Competition and Markets Authority in the UK, has revealed their provisional findings for Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard, and they have said it could, quote, result in higher prices, fewer choices, and less innovation for UK gamers. That's a pretty big statement. And as I said at the beginning of this show, this has driven a ton of commentary on social media. I made a video myself on it on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram as well. But we have seen hot takes ranging from this is the end of the deal, it's dead in the water, all the way over to this is actually a good sign and that it's going to go through sooner than expected. At the end of the day, I just want to put this statement out there. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. None of these industry analysts know what's going to happen. Now, some people might have a better inclination based on past, preceding acquisitions and mergers and things that have gone down, but this is kind of uncharted water. I mean, we have comparable company acquisitions, but on this scale in this industry and under this level of scrutiny from the public, this is something that I think that we've never really seen before in the gaming space. Now, we've seen Disney acquisitions that are absolutely massive, but this is something that's kind of entirely new. And so the concerns from the CMA range from Call of Duty exclusivity, which Microsoft has said is not happening for at least 10 years. They've offered this to them and no deal is made in perpetuity. So it's very highly likely that that could be revisited in a decade to see if they want to continue putting these Call of Duty games on these competing platforms. They've also said they're going to be bringing Call of Duty to Nintendo if this deal closes, which has never really been done before, at least not in recent generations. We had Call of Duty on the DS and the 3DS, I think, but not on the Switch. So it would be nice to see more people get access to these new games. And so that is kind of an unfounded concern. Now you also shift over to the cloud gaming side of the conversation, because the CMA said that there could be dominance in the cloud gaming market if Microsoft were to make these games exclusive in the cloud gaming market for the Xbox offering. So that's not saying taking them away from console necessarily or from PC necessarily, but as more competitors come into the cloud gaming space, could Microsoft potentially make Call of Duty an Xbox cloud gaming exclusive and not offer it to PlayStation's cloud offering or Amazon Luna? That kind of concern, I think, should definitely be addressed. That's something that we haven't really seen a lot of conversation on, and I think it is worth digging into and making sure that everything's on the up and up there. But when it's all said and done, the CMA has offered three initial solutions that could still allow Microsoft to acquire Activision Blizzard King. Now, these are just suggestions. These are pretty big asks from the CMA, and those are to sell off the part of the business that deals with Call of Duty and pretty much cut it out of the deal entirely. They would either sell off the Activision part of Activision Blizzard, or they could sell off Activision and Blizzard and just keep King. They could also abandon the deal entirely, which I don't think is even on the table. I think that Microsoft has made these announcements. They've come this far. I don't think they're giving it up anytime soon. Those are the offerings from the CMA. Now, Microsoft has roughly about a month until, I believe, February 22nd to come back to the table with their responses, and then the official decision from the CMA is expected to hit by April the 26th. So we have roughly about two more painful months of this type of talk to go through with the CMA, and that's not even talking about what could happen with the FTC here in the United States. The point that I want to drive home is, once again, I don't know how this deal is going to go. You probably don't know how this deal is going to go unless for some reason you're a Microsoft regulator who's on the forefront, and even you probably don't know what's happening right now 100%. Michael Pachter, who is a longtime gaming industry analyst, has said that the CMA and their statement could potentially be a good sign for Microsoft. It could potentially signal that the CMA realizes they don't have too much of a legal footing in their statements, and they're trying to kind of strong arm, and also the commentary was also that they were trying to kind of get ahead of the FTC and win and beat the U.S. agency to the punch. Lots of ifs, lots of potentially, lots of maybe in this whole scenario. What it comes down to, for me and from my perspective, is that these games are going to come out no matter what. We're talking about Call of Duty, Diablo, World of Warcraft, etc. Whether this deal goes through or not, Xbox players don't need to be concerned about anything when it comes to these games still being available on their consoles. PlayStation players don't have anything to be concerned about at all. No one has any concerns, because it either comes down to Microsoft owning these IP and bringing them to Game Pass and continuing to iterate on them and potentially even investigating some legacy IP and digging into that back catalog, or it comes down to maintaining the status quo. The report came out that Bobby Kotick would unfortunately continue to be at the helm of Activision Blizzard should this deal fall through. Either we keep the status quo or we try something new. In my humble opinion, I think that Microsoft would be a much better steward of Activision Blizzard than the current administration that's running the business right now. I think that right now, Activision Blizzard had a win with Call of Duty, but they're really not a great place to work. We've seen a lot of complaints about them on social media. We've seen a lot of reports around how they treat their contractors, low pay, etc. Unionization is still an effort over in the Microsoft Activision Blizzard conversation as well, and Microsoft has said they'll back that. There are so many elements here that I think would warrant Activision Blizzard coming into the Microsoft Xbox Game Studios umbrella for the benefit of the people making games, which will ultimately benefit the people playing them. That will benefit the final product. That's why I personally want the deal to close. The Game Pass editions are great. The day one launches are great. All of that is well and good. I just think that Activision Blizzard right now is focused so much on driving revenue and making money that you've got multiple studios focused on developing Call of Duty and not even digging into this incredible catalog that they have that could bring so many new experiences to players around the world. It's really a ton of wasted potential, in my humble opinion. So, going forward, as we get into this, of course, I'll talk about this deal more on the show. I will give my two cents on things as it comes up, but I want to reiterate, I'm not going to be predicting if this thing is going to close anymore or not, because I don't know what's happening any more than the next guy. I hope it closes. If it doesn't, it's water under the bridge and we move on and Xbox still has games. If it does, Activision Blizzard is, again, in my opinion, in much better hands, and we get potentially more games out of the legacy library, if you do so say. So excited to see what happens here. Regardless, the CMA making a statement is the next big step, and at this point, we're just ripping off a Band-Aid very, very slowly. It's painful, but it has to be done. Jumping on over, let's talk about Hogwarts Legacy, because the reviews are in, and it looks like this one is going to be a huge hit. I've seen a lot of people talking about this potentially even being a Game of the Year contender, and that's a pretty big statement, especially since we are only in February with tons of other games to come throughout the year. But before we dive into the reviews themselves, I do want to talk about the conversation that's been happening online. J.K. Rowling is a very controversial figure. As somebody who is a longtime Harry Potter fan, I choose to disassociate the creator from the world they've created. Harry Potter, for me, is a universe that has been taken by the community that loves it and made into something greater than anybody could ever imagine, even the creator. And somebody's shitty opinion on how other people live their lives is not going to impact the way that I enjoy a world that has taken on a life of its own over the last 20 plus years. That's my opinion on it all. That being said, I'm not even playing Hogwarts Legacy because I'm not that into Harry Potter. I just wanted to throw that out there as we're talking about this, because I know that even discussing Hogwarts Legacy can bring some heat from a specific group of people, and I respect everybody's opinion, but that's mine. That being said, the game itself, when you look at it objectively and you analyze the product, is getting some very good reviews. We've got a 9 out of 10 from IGN where they write, "In almost every way, Hogwarts Legacy is the Harry Potter RPG I've always wanted to play. True Achievements gives it a 9 out of 10. Pure Xbox gives it a 9 out of 10. VGC with a 4 out of 5. Dextero with a 4 out of 5. And the list goes on." This is certainly going to be one of the hottest sellers of the year. This is going to have some legs on it too, because when I see Hogwarts Legacy, and again, it's not a game that I'm going to be playing right now because I'm just not as into Harry Potter as I used to be back in the day. But when I see this gameplay, I think back to playing Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. I think back to playing even that game on my Game Boy Advance. And I think about how invested I used to be in that world and how fun it was to wander around Hogwarts and go on these adventures. That is what this game is delivering for people. This is fulfilling the mental perception of my childhood experience with Hogwarts, or I should say Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. This is what I wanted that game to be and how I imagined it to play. It's just now been made a reality. Graphically, it looks stunning. Gameplay-wise, people are having a great time with it. Story-wise, it sounds very fun, and it is something that is entirely original. I think that's one of the coolest features of it, is that it's not something that is based on Harry Potter itself. It is not something that focuses on some core characters in the book. This is just set in the world of Harry Potter, hundreds of years before the events of the books or the movies. This is something that you can just dive into, go in blind. You don't have to know anything about the IP that exists today. You can just check it out and enjoy being a wizard. I think that's awesome. So it's cool to see this getting as good of reviews as it is. Of course, the Nintendo Switch version of the game has been delayed, probably for the better. But if you want to dive in, it's out now on Xbox One and Xbox Series X and S, as well as the PlayStation equivalents and on PC. But I think I saw 800,000 concurrent players on Steam. That's nothing to shake a stick at. People are really enjoying Hogwarts Legacy. And it's really cool to see, again, this getting this positive of a reception, because I kind of thought that it wouldn't. I kind of had my bets that this would not be a good game. And so I think it's cool to see that people are enjoying it. The reviewers and the critics are really digging it. And, you know, I hope to see people continue to enjoy it on my timeline. So let me know down below. Are you playing Hogwarts Legacy? Do you enjoy Harry Potter? I'd love to hear your thoughts. Next up, we've got some big games coming to Xbox Game Pass, including one just in time for Super Bowl weekend, and that is Madden 23. We'll go ahead and kick it off, which did launch on EA Play's playlist this week on console and PC. So if you want to dive in and have some Super Bowl football action, now is the perfect time. And I've got to say, this is the ultimate way to add a game to the playlist collection. And if you aren't familiar, EA Play is baked into Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, and the playlist is basically their list of games you can choose from to play as a part of that subscription. So, Super Bowl's this weekend, Madden 23 drops the week before the Super Bowl. This is the last big hurrah for Madden 23. This is the week that people are going to dig in and play it, and of course, people are going to continue playing it outside of the actual NFL season. But when it comes to the public eye, people want to get into football. Even me, I thought about booting it up over the weekend. Didn't get around to it, started playing a couple of other games, did not ever touch Madden. But it is nice to have this added as a benefit, and it's cool to see it coming to EA Play as well as to Game Pass Ultimate, which is one of the best perks of the service imaginable. You can also get some Madden Ultimate Team perks if you do want to, if you are an Ultimate member, between now and March the 9th, 2023. In addition to Madden, we also see SD Gundam Battle Alliance on cloud console and PC, which is out now. And then Mount & Blade 2 Bannerlord comes on cloud console and PC on February the 14th. I know a lot of people that enjoy Mount & Blade 2, or I should say Mount & Blade, but very cool to see this one come, and it is kind of a medieval combat style game. So if that sounds like something you'd enjoy, certainly one that you should check out. And of course, for fans of Mount & Blade Warband, you will probably enjoy Mount & Blade 2. City Skylines Remastered is also coming to the service on February 15th when it launches on cloud and Xbox Series X and S. This is a next-gen exclusive, and this is one that has been around for a very long time. City Skylines is kind of the next-gen SimCity, if you will. It looks beautiful, it plays really well, and I played it a few years ago. And if you're into that kind of city management, city builder kind of thing, then Skylines Remastered is the best version of what many would probably consider to be one of the best city builders out there. Here's the one that excites me the most. Shadow Warrior 3 Definitive Edition is coming on cloud, console, and PC on February the 16th. It is time for some Wang. This is a new version of the 2022 game, and it's one that I never actually dove into, but it leaked a couple of weeks ago that it was coming to Game Pass, so I had hoped that that was real. But it's a Devolver Digital first-person shooter. It's off the rails, zany, and insane, and it's exactly what I want from this type of game. So if you love katanas, if you love shooting guns, if you love just obliterating enemies almost in like a Doom style, then Shadow Warrior 3 Definitive Edition is certainly one you should keep your eye on. And then we have the creme de la creme, the crown of February. Atomic Heart launches on cloud, console, and PC on February the 21st. This is a day one launch with Xbox Game Pass. It reads, in a mad and sublime utopian world, take part in explosive encounters. Adapt your fighting style to each opponent, use your environment, and upgrade your equipment to fulfill your mission. And if you want to reach the truth, you'll have to pay in blood. Very weird game. We've talked about it a couple of times on the podcast, but it looks like Bioshock combined with maybe some Stalker, maybe some, you know, weird Chernobyl Russian vibes here. I know there's some controversy around the game itself and the creators there, but Atomic Heart looks visually beautiful, and I will absolutely be diving in on day one. The 21st is only 10 days away from the time of recording, 9 days away from the time of this podcast going live, so certainly one you should dive into and check out. Now, I also wanted to mention that Wild Hearts is launching next week, and if you have Game Pass Ultimate or are a member of EA Play, you can get an early access trial starting on February the 13th, as well as save 10% if you want to buy the full game. Now, this is a full $70 release. It is not on Game Pass, but this is Electronic Arts' answer to Monster Hunter, and with the recent success of Monster Hunter World and Monster Hunter Rise, it totally makes sense that they want to get in and get a piece of that pie. The gameplay I've seen pretty much proves that that's what it is. It is just emulating the success and that same kind of formula of Monster Hunter. But it's nice to see more competition enter that space. I know there's some rumor of, on the Sony side, potentially a Horizon spinoff that follows the Monster Hunter kind of formula, but I think that Wild Hearts could potentially have some legs on it depending on how it's reviewed. I like the way it looks. Hopefully it plays well. I might dive in and give it a shot through the trial, but Monster Hunter games just aren't my style. I know that my girlfriend was playing Monster Hunter Rise. I took one look at all those systems, knew immediately it wasn't for me. But that's not to say it's not for you. So Wild Hearts is a big launch next week, but that's just a one little perk in your EA Play / Xbox Game Pass Ultimate membership alongside this list of really awesome games coming soon. Last week, we talked about a new leaked controller color from Team Xbox, and that was Stellar Shift. It went up a little bit early on Amazon and another part of the world, but we officially got the announcement and the blog post that came with it, and it turns out this controller comes with a bit of an extra perk. Now, if you're checking out the pictures right here on the YouTube version of the show, you'll see that it's pretty much a blue and purple shiny kind of color, and it actually changes based on how the light hits things. So if you take it into a room and you kind of move it around, you'll see that it's blue or purple depending on how you're looking at it. But on the back, you do have the rubberized grips the same way you see them on the Lunar Shift version of the controller, which I have, and I love those rubberized grips. I think it makes such a big difference when you're playing those games to really be able to grip onto the controller and have just a little bit more of a tactile feel to it. Really enjoy that. But the big perk of this controller is that it comes with a dynamic background. Now, we saw this with the 20th anniversary Xbox wireless controller that came out during 2020, if I remember correctly, 2021, I believe it was 2021. Who knows? COVID years are mixed. I'm all messed up. But 2021 was the 20th anniversary of Xbox, and we saw the 20th anniversary controller launched, and it came with a free dynamic background that you could use as long as that controller was synced to your Xbox. Now, we have this coming back once again for the Stellar Shift version, and it looks gorgeous. We have a space background, kind of reminds me of the Dead Space background that was released recently, but love the purple pop. And I think that for anybody who wants to get a little bit more of a vibrant purple in their life, this controller is the perfect option. So if you want to pick one up, it's $70, which is not too bad of a price considering this is the more premium version of the controller that comes with the rubberized grips and you get that dynamic background. We love to see it. So check it out at your local shop. It might be on my list in the future, but right now I've got the regular Xbox controller, the Lunar Shift controller, the Xbox 20th anniversary. I think I'm going to take a break. To round out today's show, if you are into documentaries, I've got a new one for you. Psych Odyssey is now out from Double Fine Productions. This is a making-of documentary series around Psychonauts 2, split up into 32 individual parts, available now on YouTube. And of course, Psychonauts 2 was a long time coming and finally released in 2021, where it was actually nominated for multiple Game of the Year awards. But if you want to dig more into the development of that game, if you want to see more about what's happening in the mind of Tim Schafer, you can check out Psych Odyssey, which is out now on the Double Fine YouTube channel. You love to see it, and this kind of thing, whether it's from the official companies themselves, like we saw with the 20th anniversary Xbox documentary series, or from Double Fine like we're seeing today, or from a company like NoClip, where they are going out, interviewing developers, and getting the inside scoop on how some of our favorite games are made, I just love learning about how the sausage is made and what's going on behind the scenes. So this is something I need to check out, and I still need to go back and actually check out Psychonauts 2, so this might actually get me to do that. But if you do want to check out Psych Odyssey, it's out now on the Double Fine YouTube channel. But that rounds out today's episode of Exhibition, an Xbox podcast. If you're new here and you enjoy the show, hit that subscribe button on YouTube, add the show to your podcast feed of choice, and get it delivered to you each and every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, which you guys voted on, by the way. People love the Sunday uploads, so we're going to keep them Sunday. I also upload stuff throughout the week, YouTube Shorts, TikToks, Instagram Reels. Follow all the socials down below to stay up to date, and I'll catch you on the next one. Until then, keep on playing.